Please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Proverbs 4, verse 20, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. And then put your finger there in the book of Proverbs and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, that you were washed, that you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Food's for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And the Lord and God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. For he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Well, one of the many things that is special about the planet Earth and that makes it particularly well-suited toward having life on it is the fact that the Earth has water. And water is certainly a valuable commodity that we have on Earth and needs to be protected. And I think that any time that we are inclined to not like people who are in favor of clean water, even if maybe their politics differ from ours a little bit, we need to step back and say, well, I think having clean water and preserving clean water on Earth is a pretty basic concept here that we all ought to be in favor of. We should certainly be all more in favor of good clean water than we even are in favor of apple pie, because water is more necessary to our life, certainly. When I was out in Winchester a month ago, or maybe a little more than that now, this little town in Kansas of 550 people, and it would appear that a major crime would be kids kicking the pop machine and getting an extra can of Coke out, or, you know, something like that. That would be as far as crime would seem to go. And yet, on the western end of this little town, there are fences that go around three different ponds, three different reservoirs that provide the drinking water for the town. And I suppose they have those fences there to make sure that people don't go swimming in those ponds. I actually want to ask Ruth's cousin, who grew up in Winchester, if this is one of the rites of passage, you know, that as a high school boy, you go out some night and climb the high fence and go swimming in the town reservoir. Because those fences are there for some reason. They're there to protect the water source, obviously. Well, in a similar sense, what we find in Proverbs 4 is that we're instructed to protect our hearts. We're instructed to guard and to put a fence around, if you will, our hearts, because from our hearts comes the issues of life, or we might read the springs of life, the headwaters of life flow out of our hearts. And so therefore we are to guard them just as we would want to guard our source of drinking water. And really, though, it goes on in the passage to not just restrict this to the heart alone, but to really give us a little bit of an anatomy lesson. And it goes through and talks about keeping our whole selves from sin, to keep yourself away from this wickedness. And the reason for keeping ourselves from sin is not explicitly stated in the passage, but it's the reason we went and read from 1 Corinthians. Because the reason why you are called as the people of God to keep yourselves from sin is because Christ has redeemed you. And Christ has redeemed you entirely. Christ is not just concerned to redeem our hearts alone, but to redeem every facet, every aspect of who we are. And one of the reasons that we know that this truth that we are redeemed stands behind this passage is because the scripture is very clear that what's the condition of your heart apart from Jesus Christ? Your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart is a cesspool of sin apart from Christ's work and apart from the Spirit being at work in your heart. And so therefore, we know that the scripture would never tell us to keep your heart with all diligence. You know, protect the cesspool at all costs. So this passage presupposes what we see in 1 Corinthians. It presupposes union with Jesus Christ. It presupposes that Christ has cleansed your hearts, that the Spirit is at work within you. And that God then is at work to redeem us and to change us entirely. Now, one of the things then that's encouraging about that for us is that God is redeeming us as people. God, when sin entered the world, when our hearts were filled with wickedness, could have said, the solution is a restart. We'll just burn everybody up and we'll just start from scratch with a new batch of people. And maybe these people will learn to walk in holiness. I'll create another world. I'll make it very good once again. And maybe this time people will choose holiness and righteousness instead of loving that which is evil. The Lord could have done that. But instead, what does God choose to do? God, in His wisdom, has chosen to redeem us and to save fallen people and to lift us up out of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness and to teach us to walk with Him. And so therefore, the extent of our redemption is, the extent of how far Christ has redeemed us is that there's not one hair on our head that is not His, that He doesn't claim as His own. And so 1 Corinthians 6 tells us, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Every hair on your head is numbered. It has been bought with a price. There's no part of you, no part of your existence that is not the Lord's. Furthermore, in 1 Corinthians 6, it assures us that not only has Christ purchased us, but that every aspect of us has been raised up, is infused, if you will, with His resurrection power at work within us, so that we are redeemed and changed entirely, so that all of us is in union with Christ. It's not just your heart that's in union with Christ. It's not just your mind that's in union with Christ. It's all of you that's in union with Christ. And then if we value this, if you think it's good what Christ has done in saving you, if you rejoice in that, then the result is going to be that you're going to want to preserve yourself from sin by following the words of this passage, right? If we think it's a good thing to have been redeemed from sin, then we don't want to introduce sin into our lives. If we think it's a good thing to have three ponds with clean drinking water on the west side of town, then we don't want to back up the dump truck full of impurities to those ponds and mess up the drinking water of our town. In the same way, if we have been cleansed by Christ, then it makes no sense to unite the cleansing work that Christ has done with the impurities of sin. And the passage really gives us a couple different ways then that we need to show that we value our redemption. Two different ways that we then need to protect. The first we might think of along the lines of preservation by God's Word. It's sort of like, if you want to think of those ponds again, sort of like adding cleaners to those ponds. Things that will purify them more fully. That is, you know, nobody's, even though those ponds are kept clean, nobody goes out there with their glass of water, their glass, and dips it in and drinks right from there. It has to go through more purification, doesn't it? So that it's ready for people's homes. Well, in a similar way, the first three verses of our passage tell us that God's Word has that sort of a function in our lives. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Life and health God is giving us through His Word. And so then these verses tell us how to have this life and health. It's through not letting the Word of God depart from our eyes, from treasuring it up in our hearts, from listening closely to it. And one of the things that I hope you're seeing as we go through the book of Proverbs is, just like when you go through Exodus and Deuteronomy, parts of God's law, one of the things that you're reminded of and taught there is just how unrighteous you are. Well, one of the things that Proverbs teaches us as we come back to it week after week and reflect on it is just how foolish I am. Just how many foolish decisions I make over the course of a week. Just how quickly my foot does go off to the right hand or to the left hand. Right? And so we see how far short we fall of the wisdom of God. But God wants to continue to train us in wisdom, and so He calls us to listen to His Word. And this fits in then, and to be cleansed through His Word. This fits in then with the rest of Scripture where we're told things like when Christ prays, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. So what's the source of cleansing? It's the word of God. How shall a young man cleanse his way? Psalm 119. By living according to your word. Think of Ephesians 5. How does Christ take care of the church? How does he sanctify her? With the washing of water by the word. And so the source that God has for us to be cleansed, to be preserved from sin, is the word, to be undergoing this continual cleansing of the word. When we think about our hearts, what do we have to do in our hearts to grow impurity? Nothing at all. What do you have to do in your flower garden at home to grow weeds? Nothing at all. It doesn't take anything at all. Now you know from your gardening that if you leave those weeds completely ignored, that they get bigger and bigger and harder to pull out. And so therefore a good gardener regularly gets the weeds out of the garden. They don't just wait until the weeds are, you know, knee high by the 4th of July or neck high by August. The good gardener is out there when the weeds are little, hoeing them up, getting them out of the garden. Well, in a similar way, the Word of God has that function for us. What do we have to do for impurity to grow in our hearts? Nothing. Impurity grows on its own in our hearts. We're called to take and drink freely of the Word of God, and that the Word of God then has a function of pulling those weeds out of our hearts, of bringing continual cleansing to our hearts. And so it's as we're in the Word that God illuminates sins in our lives, and we learn sin that we need to confess and repent of, wrong attitudes that we have are revealed to us as we read God's Word. We're taught righteousness in the high school class this morning. We were just talking about 2 Timothy 3:16-17, that God's Word is good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And so it's good to reprove us and show us where we've gone wrong. It's good to instruct us in the way we ought to go. It's good for doctrine to teach us the things that we ought to believe. And so God wants you to be preserved from sin by partaking of His Word. His Word is a means of grace. And if we're not partaking of His Word, it's just like keeping a garden that you don't weed, and then you're saying, well, where did all these weeds come from? If you're not partaking of the Word, if you're not being sanctified and cleansed through the Word of God, washing over your heart day by day, and your life day by day, you are growing weeds. And your heart is increasing in impurity. And so God's given us His Word as a cleansing agent. He not only, though, calls us to partake of His Word, He also calls us to build fences, if you will, around our lives, to keep our hearts, to watch over and to watch out for sin. What verses 23 and following call us to really is to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God. Romans 12:1-2, to give ourselves as living sacrifices to the Lord. Every part of ourselves is due to Him. And so once again, we really have here what? An anatomy lesson. The heart, the mouth, the eyes, the feet are all talked about. And we need to understand that certainly the names of these body parts are mentioned here, But these are symbolic body parts as well, aren't they? What's the heart? Well, the heart's our inner man, our inner person, who we really are. Our thoughts, the way we think about life. The mouth. The mouth is, of course, our communication, our speech. The eyes speak of our focus and our goals. What are you looking toward? What are you aiming at, right? I mean, that's why it talks about keeping your eye on the path and putting on blinders like we might put on a horse. Keep your attention straight ahead. So what is your, where's your focus? Where are your goals directed to? And then our feet are our actions. Where are you going? What are you doing with your life? And all of this anatomy, though, starts, and it's no mistake that verse 23 is right in the center of this section, right? Because all of this starts with your heart. Your heart is the headwaters. And if the headwaters are bad, then everything that flows out is going to be bad. Right? There's that little spring. I've never been there, but apparently there's that little spring up in Minnesota where the Mississippi River flows out of. Well, if that spring is poisonous, the whole river is going to be poisoned. If your heart is bad, your whole life is going to be bad. And so then in keeping our heart, we have to protect it. And the reality is our hearts are like those plants that suck up everything. You know, one example is like a bulrush. They'll just suck everything up. And in fact, bulrushes are very helpful in cleaning up pollution. Because they'll just drink up the pollution and get it out of the groundwater that way. And probably those of you who are more inclined toward knowing botany type things will know other plants that are similar to the bulrush in that regard. Well, our hearts are like that, aren't they? We put our hearts in a situation where there's lots of poison, where there's filth around. And what do our hearts do? Our hearts just indiscriminately suck it up. They just eat it all up. Now, how do we square that with the fact that as Reformed believers, we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord over all? That is, Abraham Kuyper famously said that there's not one square inch of this earth over which Jesus Christ does not say, "I am Lord." And so if Christ is Lord over all, if Christ is in the work, is doing the work of redeeming creation, then how do we square that then with the fact that our hearts need to be protected from certain things in the creation? Well, I think in that regard, 1 Corinthians 6 is helpful to us, right? When it tells us that not all things are helpful to me. Everything is redeemable. But that doesn't mean that everything furthers my redemption. And in this regard, then, we need to examine ourselves and say, what are the main influences in my thinking? And what thinking in my life is causing me to go in the direction of more sin? What thinking is my heart doing that's producing more sin? Okay, now I've identified this thinking, you know, this thinking that, okay, I've identified, my heart thinks I need to be happy all the time. And if that's my most important thing, is that I need to be happy all the time. Okay, where did that kind of thinking come from? And then we need to ask ourselves that and say, well, what are the influences in my life that are producing this kind of, you know, that whatever I want to do, as long as it makes me happy, it's okay. And so then maybe you say, well, you know what, there are these, you know, certain types of books I read. There are certain songs that I enjoy that lead me down this path. Well, then, if your songs, if your reading, if your media, if other things, people you're interacting with are leading you toward impurity, then we need to get rid of that stuff and be willing to root it out. And you might say, well, I know other people in the church who watch that kind of movie. I know other people who read that kind of book. Well, maybe it's not creating the same struggle for them. It may be a lawful thing for you to do, but that doesn't make it profitable for you. It doesn't make it profitable for me. And the reality is that we are constantly, our hearts are constantly sucking up things from all around us. And unfortunately, our hearts are not nearly as discriminatory as they need to be in determining what's really good for me and what's not. And so therefore, we are urged here, keep your heart with all diligence. Think about it this way. If you have not denied yourself something in the last week, in the last couple weeks, because you were saying, I shouldn't be doing this because it's going to pollute me, if you're not denying yourself anything, then you're not obeying this verse. Keep your hearts with all diligence. And so we ought to be able to point to things that, you know, I know that that's a lawful thing for me to do. You know, it's okay. I'm allowed to watch that kind of movie. I'm allowed to listen to this music. But I know that it's not profitable for me, and so I don't do it. Because I know it doesn't help me. And so therefore, we are instructed here to keep our hearts from sin, to build fences. Now those fences don't just stop with our hearts, do they? They include our whole self. And this is something that Proverbs wants to teach you, is we saw at the end of chapter 3 that wisdom is not just a thing of between me and God, but it impacts my relationship with my neighbor, right? Don't be the oppressor. Don't devise evil against your neighbor, right? So wisdom impacts not only my relationship with God, but my relationship with other people. Well, in the same way, as we come to the end of chapter 4, one of the things that we see is that wisdom not only impacts my mind or my heart, but wisdom impacts my feet, my hands, my mouth, my eyes. Everything that I do is impacted by wisdom. And so really it takes us back to 1 Corinthians 6. Glorify God with your body. It reminds us of that old VBS song that, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you walk. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. And there are other verses as well. And so God wants to be Lord and demands to be Lord, not just of your heart, but of your whole being, of your mouth, of the way you talk, of the way you communicate with others. If the National Enquirer could pick a 5-minute clip, put together a 5-minute clip of your speech from the last week, and put together a clip in such a way that it would be most sensational for your friends to hear, would you want that clip to be played? You know, just this last week, they take all the recordings of everything you said and they condense down and pick the 5 minutes of the worst things that you've said. Would you want it played here at church? The Lord wants to be Lord of our mouths as well as of our hearts. And if we want to build a temple to the Lord, we have to clear away the rubble from our lives. And that means cleaning up our mouths. False words, angry words, perverse words, biting words. These are the things that we need to clean up. And our eyes. Our eyes. What are your focus on? What are your goals for your life? Are they goals of living for the Lord? What are you aiming for? Along those same lines, we can ask, what are we coveting? What are you not content with because you don't have it? And you want more of this because somebody else has it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes is one place where we fall off. And then feet, what are we doing? And look at verse 26, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. One of the things that we can struggle with because of the fast pace of life, because of the constant stream of information, is that we aren't as reflective as we need to be. There's always something else to think about. I think I read this recently. Maybe I heard it in a lecture or something. Somebody making the point that the internet is a great medium for information, but it's a poor medium for reflection and for thinking about the meaning of that information. So we can get on the internet and look up. I just looked up here recently the electoral map for the Carter-Reagan election in 1980 because I wanted to know if Carter had won Georgia or not. So I can find that kind of information out. You can find all sorts of information on the internet. And we have all sorts of information coming at us all the time through books and news and all sorts of other places. That doesn't mean it helps us reflect. But we're instructed here to ponder the path of your feet. Think about where you've been. And probably more importantly, think about where you're going. And we ought to be thinking about in everything we do, but for sure, in the major life decisions that we have, we ought to be pondering what is the wise thing to do. What would the Lord have me do here? So as you younger people ponder marriage, who would the Lord have me to marry? Ponder it from the standpoint of wisdom. Ponder it from the standpoint of someone who's redeemed, who is claimed by the Lord. Who would the Lord have me marry? Certainly as people in this community, we have a lot of people who move a lot. As you ponder a move, where should you be going? Where is going to be good for us? Where is going to be profitable for our family to be? Where can I grow in the Lord? Do you ponder career decisions? What am I going to do with my life? I need to do something where I can serve the Lord. I need to do something where I can be encouraged and grow and helped and strengthened in loving God. And so God calls us to evaluate not only our hearts, not only to keep our hearts pure, but also to set a watch around our eyes, around our mouths, and around our feet as well. And then the final instruction there in verse 27 is, if to wrap it all up, don't turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. You need to understand that right and left in this context does not refer to politics. It's not talking about being a centrist in politics. That's the furthest thing from Solomon's mind when he writes, don't let your foot go to the right or left. So don't read 21st century American political situation into this verse. What we do need to read into it is that this is language that God uses throughout Scripture. It shows up three key times in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 5:32. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or the left. Deuteronomy 17:11, Deuteronomy 28:14. And it has to do with keeping God's word as God's word is written to us. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. There's another way of understanding the right hand, you're right over here, the right hand and the left hand, right? Don't turn aside from the path that I've laid. I've told you what righteousness is what the Lord's saying. Don't add areas of righteousness. Don't be like the Pharisees who introduce new areas of righteousness and make up their own standards of righteousness. And also don't take away from it. Don't stray from the path. God's calling us here once again to keep our whole self away from sin. And the way that we do that is by being in His Word, listening to it, paying attention to it, letting it cleanse us day by day. So we keep ourselves from sin by hearing His Word and then by building fences around us so that we don't do those things that are not profitable for us. And we flee from sin. Now the reality is we understand this very easily in a physical sense. When I'm in Sudan and I go to church or I'm out in the marketplace, you see kids running around with Coke bottles, 1 liter Coke bottles, and they have water in them. And this water, I don't know where they get it. I think they get it from the mud puddles. This water is brown water. But it's not brown like brown food coloring water, you know, that you can kind of see through if you hold it up to a bright enough light where the light still comes through. It's cloudy brown water. And I can assure you that I am not in the slightest bit, even though it can be 120 degrees, I can be very thirsty, I'm not in the slightest bit tempted to drink those kids' water. Why? Because I know what it would do to me if I drank that water. Would that you and I would have the same hatred of sin and the same reaction to sin as we would have to drinking cloudy brown water that can destroy our body. But sin can destroy our body and our soul. May God give us the grace to have no appetite for sin, even as we'd have no appetite for that filthy water. Let's pray. Lord, You are good to give us Your Word. You are good to give us warnings. And Lord, You are good to redeem us from sin. Lord, help us to not walk in it. Help us not to love it. Help us not to let sin have any part in our lives, but to be constantly vigilant in protecting ourselves from sin. Lord, use Your Word to show us where there's sin in our lives. And then, Lord, make us diligent to hate sin and to seek to root it out and to guard ourselves from those things that would introduce sin into our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.